As I said just now in the graveyard, we are gathered to mourn the death of Thomas Robert Campbell, or Bobby as he was known. Our sympathy and assurance of prayer goes out to his sister Ruby and her husband Tommy, and to their family, to their sons and daughters-in-law, Stephen and Gwen, John and Ruth, and Colin and Claire, and their families, their children, in the passing of a dear uncle, Rachel and Naomi, Louise and Victoria, Emma, James and Scott. We know that they will miss Bobby's visits to Donoughmore, and we shall miss seeing him from time to time in the church there in Lochbrickland. We also extend our sincere sympathy and the sympathy and prayers of the people in Lochbrickland to Raymond, his uncle, to Dorothy, and also to Mabel, the uncle and aunt. Bobby will be remembered as a quiet, unassuming man. His father was an elder here in Ballymacashan, in the Reformed Presbyterian Church here. Bobby was a quiet man, but he worked with his father and then later on other building sites. And Bobby was connected to this church here, the Reformed Presbyterian Church here. He worked manually, he was physically very fit, and he will be missed. And we do sympathize not only with the family members that I've mentioned, but with the wide circle of family connection. You will all have memories of Bobby, and you will miss him in various ways. It is also fitting that we should worship God, and that we should acknowledge God and the hand of God, the God of providence, the God who governs all things. He took Bobby out of this world at the appointed time and in the appointed way. There are no mistakes with God, and God does do as he pleases, and he doeth all things well. Well, I'm glad to have with me, taking part in the service, the Reverend Robert McAvoy, who's minister of the Congregational Church that meets here in this building, and who's kindly made the building available for us. And also Mr. McAvoy is a much appreciated visiting preacher to the congregation of Ruby down in Lochbrickland. So after the first psalm, I'll call on Mr. McAvoy to lead us in prayer, and as we all remain standing after the singing of the psalm. So we sing to God's praise from Psalm 103. O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. Bless, O my soul, the Lord thy God, and not forgetful be of all his gracious benefits he hath bestowed on thee. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Let us stand and praise God.
Amen.
pray for him. So our gracious Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence here today, conscious of the event that brings us together, and conscious of the overarching providence of God, which orders our affairs and our lives. We realize today, Father, that we are but as grass of the field that grows and flourishes, flowers, blossoms, and the wind comes and blows upon it, and it is cut down. Our time on this earth is very short. And yet today, our Father, we come to approach a God who is eternal, who we know from your word is from everlasting to everlasting, whose mercies are great toward us. And so, Father, today we come acknowledging your sovereignty and your goodness and your kindness towards the sons of men. Father, we thank you for the very gift of life that you have given to each one of us. For every day that we have in this world, and every single breath that we take, are precious gifts from God that are given to us. Help us, Father, to value our days, to number our days, to use them very wisely, that in this life before it ends, we might prepare to meet our God. Thank thee, Father, also, that we are reminded on these occasions that each one of us will one day stand before God and give an account of our lives. And because those lives fall so far short of your standard of goodness, because we have broken your law of trespass, and because we are sinners, we acknowledge, O God, today that our life falls far short of your standards, and we are condemned unto the law. And so because of that, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the gospel of good news, for the one who was sent into this world without sin, who died on the cross for sinners like us, and took upon himself all of our sin, and all of our misery, and all of our sorrows, and paid the fine that we owed, so that our sins could be forgiven, and we could be restored to a right standing before God. Father, today, remind us of the gospel in this service. Remind us of the need to prepare for eternity in this service. Father, as we meet together to remember Bobby's life and to give thanks for him, we think of those who mourn his passing, those who are saddened by his death, and who will miss his voice and his presence. And we pray for comfort for them. Remember the words of the Savior, who said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." We pray that you would be with them, and that your divine presence will bring them your peace. So we ask all of these things, and in through the precious and wonderful name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that you would accept our worship this day, and forgive all of our many sins. Amen.
Amen.
We turn in the first instance to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Epistle of Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. 1 Peter 1 and verse 17. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And then turning again to Revelation chapter 22, Revelation 22, the very last chapter in the Bible, Revelation 22 and from verse 12, Revelation 22 and verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And we turn to verse 17 of that chapter. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Although we are here to mourn, we must learn this, that all blessedness is in the Lord. All blessedness, all true contentment and happiness is in the Lord. And though we sorrow at this time, our hope must be in God and in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We notice, first of all, in this verse, that believers long for the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers long for Jesus Christ. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. It's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus in glory and power. And the bride is the Church of Christ, not just everyone with their name on a membership roll, but the redeemed people of God who trust in the Saviour, the true believing people of God. And it says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. That is, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God in them, means that the people of God say, come. They love the Lord Jesus Christ, and so they want him to come, because they long to see more of him. They long to see his honor vindicated, his name put beyond reproach of men, and they long for the day when Christ will be all in all. And so even Peter, who had been shown by what death he would glorify God, yet even he longed for the second coming, for the return of the Lord Jesus. Whether death intervenes or not, we long for the day when the Lord Jesus shall receive the glory. We are willing to be absent from the body and present with the Lord, but our desire is that we should be clothed upon body and soul in resurrection glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christians in all ages and in all generations have prayed this prayer, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. Every real Christian trusts in him and also loves him. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, let him be accursed, 1 Corinthians 16:22. Because when a man is born of the Spirit, they not only trust Christ as their Savior, and they do, for acceptance with God, but they begin to love Christ as their Lord. We do not love the Lord as we should, if we're Christians, nor do we love him as we will when we're in heaven. But we do love him. True believers love the Lord Jesus Christ and everything about him. They love his worship, they love his people, they love his day, because they love him who first loved them. So the redeemed of the Lord love the Lord Jesus Christ, and they want more of Christ. On earth, they desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. They have tasted that the Lord is gracious. They're going in a different direction to the world, and they want more of Christ from his word. An appetite for the word of God is a sign of spiritual life, and where it is not present, there is reason for grave concern. So the believer in this world wants more of Christ from his word. That's why he goes to church, not to keep up appearances, but to be fed and nourished and have the word of God explained. And in heaven, when we die, if we're Christians, we will be with Christ, which is far better. And we look forward to that. And then in resurrection glory, when the Lord Jesus shall come with his mighty angels, with great power and great glory, then when we see the vindication of Christ, we shall rejoice. So believers love the Lord Jesus Christ. But secondly, sinners, unconverted sinners, must come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith before Christ comes to them in judgment. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, every one of us. And the bride and God's people, they long for that day. But you can only look forward to the judgment if your sins are forgiven, and they can only be forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ will come and will judge and will make no mistake. Those who are in Christ will be safe forever, and those who are not will be damned forever, justly for all their sins. And though history is heading towards that day, in the meanwhile, in all generations, the Lord summons people out of this world by death. This night thy soul is required of thee. God can do that. With all the means at man's disposal, yet God can do that. He can take away our life. It belongs to God. That's why we must be at peace with this God. We must be reconciled to God, so that when the Lord takes us from this world, we are ready for another world, for heaven and not for hell. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And while you are in this world, the Lord Jesus says gracious words to you. He says what he said when he was in this world. He says still by his ministers, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Christ says, come. While you're in this world, he says, come. The day will come when the Savior, the only Savior there ever was, will say, depart. Depart from me, ye cursed, for I never knew you. But today, while you're in this world, he says, come. And then, finally, we have mighty encouragements to sinners to come to Christ, to come to him in faith. The thirsty are told to come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. What is this thirst of which this text speaks? Well, it's the same thirst as you have in Isaiah 55, where in the spirit of prophecy, the Lord Jesus exhorts sinners to come to him. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. The Lord calls upon sinners to come to him without money and without price. But he says, wherefore do ye spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? And man desires blessedness, but he looks in the wrong way. He looks to the wrong place, to the wrong thing. He looks for blessedness in that which is not bread, that which satisfieth not. Even those who love sin are not satisfied with sin. It doesn't work. Come unto me, he says, and you shall satisfy your soul with fatness. So this thirst is a thirst for blessedness, but not necessarily a thirst for Christ, in whom is blessedness. It is a huge blunder and a sinful blunder to seek blessedness apart from the ever-blessed God. There is only blessedness in Christ. All the other places of escape are temporary and must go at death. When death comes, we leave everything else behind. Familiar scenes, familiar places, and outside of Christ, even familiar friends and loved ones, all goes. Only if we have Christ do we have that which endures beyond this world. Only fellowship with Christ remains. The willing are told to come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. There is no impediment or hindrance in the gospel offer. True it is that without the Spirit of God, we do not want to come. Without the Spirit of God renewing our hearts, we prefer darkness rather than light. But that is not the fault of the offer. The offer is to all. All who want Christ can have Christ. He is ready to forgive. You must come to him. You must come according to the word. Not your way, but God's way. You see that warning in verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. If you try to come to God other than the way that he lays down in his word, you will never come to God at all. No forgiveness, no cleansing, no peace with God, no heaven in the world to come, but only what your sins deserve and my sins deserve, the wrath of God. You must come as God says you must come, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. In Isaiah 55, which we were looking at just now, later on in verse 6, we're told to forsake our thoughts. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Perhaps you have many thoughts about how you imagine you'll get to heaven, but your thoughts are wrong. It's God's thoughts that matter. Perhaps you think, well, surely God is not holy and just. He won't punish sin so strictly, but he will. Or perhaps you think, my sins are not very great. Surely God won't mind. Well, he will. Perhaps you think you can make amends, but you can't. Perhaps you think everything will be all right in the end, but it won't, unless you trust in the only Saviour of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. You must give up your thoughts. You must abandon those thoughts that surely it's not so exclusive. It is. I am the way, says Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You must come to God as a sinner, deserving his judgment, his condemnation, and seek mercy and forgiveness through Christ. Why through Christ? Because Christ alone could bear the guilt of sin in the place of sinners, and this he did when he died on the cross and rose again. This is the Saviour you need. And as we sorrow and as we mourn the passing of our friend Bobby, let us learn the truth of God, that there is one way to God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him alone, and rest content, be saved from sin through a Saviour who was crucified and rose again. Amen. Let us sing to God's praise in Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. And after the singing of the psalm, we'll remain standing for prayer and the benediction. Let us stand and praise God.
My shepherd, I'm not one. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet.
gracious and eternal God, we come to thee through Jesus Christ. We bless thee that there is a gospel for sinners in this world. We thank thee, O God, for the truth of thy word. We pray that thou wilt grant thy blessing to those who are especially sorrowing at this time, that thou wilt be with Ruby and grant to her thy grace, and with Tommy too, and grant to them to find all their comfort in the one that sticketh closer than a brother, even our Lord Jesus Christ. And do thou bless all the family circle. We remember Tommy and Ruby's sons and daughters-in-law, and pray for thy blessing upon Stephen and Gwen and John and Ruth and Colin and Claire, and upon all their children. And as they think much of, with sorrow and a sense of loss of Bobby and what he meant to them, and be gracious, we pray, and bless Raymond and Dorothy and Mabel and all the family circle, the cousins and all who sorrow this day. Grant to them thy blessing and the portion of thy spirit and the comfort of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And grant, O God, that we might all be found trusting this Saviour and ready to leave this world, that we should not be, through fear of death, all our lifetime subject to bondage, but that we should know the light and liberty of the children of God, and all be found in Christ, and with the great contemplation that we shall be forever with the Lord. So hear us, O God, and bless thy word to our hearts. Grant that even in this solemn providence, that thou wilt bring good out from it, and that this day sinners might trust the Saviour, fleeing from the wrath to come, to him who is the Saviour of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ, that man that is in hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. So look upon us and take away our sins and receive us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.